I'm gonna have to go through the whole thing again because it's a new recording.
Everybody that's here. Yeah. All right, we're open the executive shade meeting on case number 2017-01. In attendance is John Hartley, Brian All, and Joe Rogan as commissioners. Kirby, Carla, and Cherry are here, and so is Deborah. So, regarding case 2017-01, before we begin our discussion, Carla, we have anything you want to add on that? I know you just gave us some paperwork from the Jacksonville Fire Department. Any other information that we need to know that we did not have before?
Well, yeah, you have the complaint form, and then you had the findings, the disciplinary findings from the fire department, and then what we just got in was from the Office of Professional Standards, and this is a public records request that I made for every document they had leading up to the discipline. And I also had a conversation with the head of the professional committee about what occurred and, you know, to shed some light on this.
After reading through everything I've seen and reading through what you just gave me, I don't think we have jurisdiction over this. I see nothing. There's no mention of his use of authority whatsoever that I see. That's just my opinion.
I think there is. There may be other reasons not to proceed, but here, from what I understood, and I haven't got a chance to read through all this stuff that we just got, but he used a card or code that he's issued as a lieutenant fire department to access a place in the hospital where he wouldn't otherwise have access for personal reasons.
He has his uniform on, so.
Yeah, and I thought that he used a code or a key of some sort.
Well, we don't have anything that says anybody said or saw him use a code or a key, so could he have got in there other ways? Do they let people in the emergency room? They do. There's nothing from the hospital in there that says he wasn't allowed in there.
What the chief told me when he dropped these papers off, and I haven't had a chance to read them since he dropped them off, just a little bit when I was in a meeting, Mr. Dawson, Lieutenant Dawson, had a hoodie on, but it had JFRD on it, you know, so it was like, it's not a uniform, but he was identified JFRD, and that his job involves him going to the trauma center several times. He goes in and out all the time. And he actually, that time he was there, he had an official reason for being there. But someone said, hey, as long as you're there, could you also check on my friend who's there? And so they kind of walked through during the day, and he was there for a legitimate reason. So then you poke your head in and see how Nancy's doing in one of the rooms, is essentially how it was relayed to me. Now,
actually in his disciplinary action and in other things, even when the hospital staff writes it up, he certainly is rude and he certainly is unprofessional. Whether he abused his authority or not is never questioned or mentioned in any of the writing. So, I mean, we can assume, but nobody says that. Nobody in any of the, that I saw.
Yeah, I mean, just in what I read, it seemed that if you wanted to take a stern look on the negative behavior, you'd end up in the realm of temporary injunction, which it appears did happen, and Judge Norton issued a temporary violence injunction and a stalking injunction, which I thought was pretty severe if this is an isolated incident. But I mean, that's taking the veiled threats at their most serious, which I agree, it's separate and apart from saying, you know, I'm this position and this authority, you need to do what I say because that's why, you know, because of my badge or my
right
position. I mean, he was just being more outwardly hostile and veiled threats, but they weren't really related to his position.
I
didn't get that impression.
The misuse of position at the state and local level involves that you're doing it for some kind of personal benefit. Do you know what I mean? If you just throw your weight around in uniform, that's not a misuse of position under the law. You have to get some kind of personal benefit.
Does it say monetary benefit?
No, it doesn't have to be a monetary benefit, but it has to be something that you personally gain for yourself or others. So, I mean, theoretically, a personal benefit or a benefit for others. Kirby, are you quoting the...
I was just going to say, it's section 602.401 is the local misuse of possession, and it requires the misuse of possession, or rather the benefit that you get to it from the misuse of your possession to have been done by coercion or threat.
And certainly a domestic violence injunction issued by a circuit judge here would seem to weigh in favor of threat, right?
Yeah, but he's not threatening. The thing is he's not threatening with his authority of anything. That nobody ever mentions that. He never says, hey, I'm a lieutenant with the Jacksonville Fire Department. If you don't do this, then I'm going to do this or that. In fact, the criminal complaint never is heard. They don't prosecute it at all. So, and then it goes to the fire department, and they give him a written reprimand for his unprofessional conduct. I think this is a way big stretch for us. Mm-hmm. And I think if you do this, then there's lots and lots of at the sheriff's office and the fire department of that we should be looking at. So that was my, we're setting a precedence here of looking at people using their authority, and this one's more of a, certainly a professional standard of, you know, more of abuse of his will on others, not as a fireman, but just as a person, because he never mentions that. He never said, at least they don't say that, and all we have is what the comments are made. You would think somebody somewhere in there would have said, he mentioned his being a lieutenant, he mentioned his being with the fire department, he mentioned him coming there all the time, but that's just not there.
Well, he didn't have to mention if he had a jersey on that said JFRD. I mean,
but that's implied. That's implied. Mm-hmm. I mean, that. So at one point we want to say they wouldn't let him in because he didn't have his uniform on. On the other side, we want to say, but yet he had this implied authority over all these people, and that he threatened them because of it. But really, the guy says is, "What are you doing? Or you need to leave." I mean, he doesn't make him do anything. He doesn't require this guy, the nurse, or to do anything. Mm-hmm. So that's my opinion.
I guess you need to make a decision whether we just got this documentation, if you want some time to read it over and decide it at your next meeting. Nothing's happening quickly on this. I mean, the court injunction was denied. He has been disciplined.
The permanent injunction.
Yeah,
the permanent injunction. He's been disciplined. It was his only discipline he's ever had with JFRD. If you want to read over the paperwork and, you know, or decide it right now and go through it, I think that you may want to just chew on it or read it a little bit.
Was it a recorded proceeding, the injunction proceeding? Was there testimony taken that was either transcribed or recorded?
I don't think he has to attend the emergency one.
The emergency one was granted ex parte.
Yeah.
But then at the first hearing where the lieutenant was invited, the judge dismissed the proceeding. But I think nobody showed up, if I glanced over it correctly. Mm-hmm. When it came back on the permanent hearing, nobody showed up for whatever reason.
So I guess the question is there any evidence out there that's not before us that might tend to prove that there was more an issue of whether or not he was misusing his position, or if we're just relying on the "you'll be sorry" comment? That's pretty broad.
I think here, right, we're not yet at a probable cause place. Mm-hmm. We're here deciding if it's facially sufficient to allege a violation of the Jacksonville Ethics Code. And I think it comes down to exactly what you said, for the record, John.
Yeah.
It comes down to, do we have anything to suggest, even under some liberal construction, that he was actually misusing his authority? I think it's a pretty close call if you're walking. Now, he's in a hoodie that says JFRD. I don't know. If you were a uniformed police officer, that would be a closer call for me. He's wearing a hoodie that I could probably buy, I think.
Right.
But I think we got a bunch of stuff today. I'd like to take a look at it.
Sure.
So,
want to get a motion that we defer?
Yeah, I'll move to defer to the next meeting. Give us 30 days or so to take a look at everything we just got from the JFRD.
Second?
Yep, second.
Okay.
And I would mention that if in looking through these documents, to hold on to them, either confidential, don't leave them on your dining room table or at your place of business. Keep them secure. And if you have any follow-up questions, like this line says so-and-so, can you find out from JFRD if they took a statement or if they did that? If you have any follow-up work between now and your next meeting, just let Kirby and I know and we'll get the data for you.
Has anybody spoken to the lieutenant recently?
No, we wouldn't speak to him prior to you guys giving us direction on that. We're not going to do that. I just spoke to the head of professional standards, who said, you know, the guy was admitted that he was rude that day, he could have handled it better, that there have been other problems with that particular nurse at Chan's. Words between him and fire personnel. It was an unfortunate situation. The guy knows that he was rude.
Right.
But as far
according to the internal review person at JFRD or the union person?
JFRD.
Okay.
Yeah, and it just, anyhow, I think it at least deserves us reading over everything and seeing that all of your questions are answered, and if there's any misuse of position, we obviously don't pursue cases that people were rude one day, or we'd have 1,000 cases to hear.
If they're in uniform, I don't think, I'm just saying, I've done this all my life, and this is a precedent setting for someone else to look into, because everybody that's with the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office and everybody that's with the fire department can go to that emergency room and gain access, if you're in uniform or not, if they know you or not. So we're going to look at each and every case that someone may have been rude or may have, mm-hmm. you know, bullied their way into somewhere because they were in uniform or not. I wish there was other information in here that stretched it, but I've already voiced my opinion, so.
There was just something I needed to correct for the record. I actually did speak to the respondent because I needed to make sure that his address was correct mm-hmm. and to send him a copy of the complaint under the complaint procedures. And I got his, he requested to receive it by email, and I sent it to him, and that was that. He provided no substantive mm-hmm. information, but I just wanted it put on the record that I had to reach out to him to make sure I sent it to the correct place.
Mm-hmm. Carla, can you say how we got the complaint? Was it a hotline complaint, or was it a...
It was filed.
Okay, yeah.
On the complaint form.
Okay, all right.
But when the complaint was filed, it first came in on the hotline. By the nurse. First came in by the hotline.
Okay.
And then he came in and filed that same week. He filed the written complaint.
Okay.
And I asked the complainant if the lieutenant from JFRD identified himself as working for the department or JFRD, and the complainant said that he had not, that the complainant had a hard time seeing who it was until he turned around and saw the emblem on his jacket, is what he said.
But he called the hotline first. The nurse, right? Okay.
Or did he get the injunction first?
The date on the preliminary and the date for the permanent injunction hearing was February 7th, which is the Tuesday after the date the complaint was filed. The complaint was filed Friday, February 3rd.
So I have a temporary injunction filed on January 27th.
Okay, so he got the temporary.
And the next week he filed
the complaint.
And then he filed the complaint, and then the permanent injunction hearing was set for February 7th, which was after the date he filed the complaint.
Because I noticed they were very close in time.
Mm-hmm. They were.
Well, I think we're pending a vote, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, yes. All right. We have a motion. We have a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And it may be that this is a case that would lead to you developing a procedure or a thinking process for if the fire department or the police department has taken it through their whole process and disciplined the person or not disciplined, or do we want to then get involved if it's not
right.
on all fours right. with an ethics complaint? Do we want to second-guess police and fire?
I think we could, right? I mean, under Rule 17, as I've now recently become acquainted, under Rule 17, we could say that we think that the JFRD, that the JFRD penalty is sufficient, and so for public interest reasons, we're going to dismiss it, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think that's the proper... I mean, there's nothing that says we can't look at anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's proper, but.
Well, at least we should have time to read everything, and getting it right before the meeting, you know, You should have a little time to chew on it.
Okay.
Can I get a copy of that?
Okay, this will conclude our discussion and meeting on complaint number 2017-01.
Okay, please.